Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, September 4th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, "Soaked. It's a record." 3.63 inches of rain recorded in Midland in one day. National Weather Service puts total as sixth highest amount of precipitation ever. By Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. Take a walk around Graffa Park, and you're sure to notice a sure sign that summer is over. The six-acre public space is often found many evenings being used to introduce soccer to young children. Right now, though, it looks a lot more like the duck pond. Since Friday, West Texas has seen a deluge of rain. Depending on where you're at, you may have seen a lot or very little on any given day. On Monday, the National Weather Service, NWS, office at Midland International Air and Spaceport recorded the sixth highest amount of precipitation in a single day, a whopping 3.63 inches. I drove back from Dallas yesterday, and it was a mess all the way east of Ranger to Midland, NWS meteorologist Brian Curran told the Reporter Telegram on Tuesday. I saw at least four cars that had hydroplaned into the median or off the side of the interstate. Curran said Midland sees this much rain about once every 8 to 10 years. As of Tuesday, NWS had recorded 9.9 inches of rain at the airport year to date, a half inch more than average. More than one number. The amount of precipitation recorded at MAF is the official number for NWS. However, rainfall can vary wildly. Officially, we recorded 0.52 inches at the airport on Friday, NWS meteorologist Jim DeBerry told the Reporter Telegram Saturday morning. However, Kokoroa HS observers reported up to 2.9 inches inside Loop 250 in northwest Midland. The Reporter Telegram reached out to followers on its Facebook page Tuesday for their rain gauge reports. Midland Meat Company said it had recorded 4 inches of rain at Scarborough Ranches since Friday, adding, "Thank you, Lord." Similar amounts over the Labor Day long weekend were reported from Mission Dorado, near MAF, out in West Odessa, and as far west as Kermit and Pecos. Dangerous driving conditions. Between Friday and Tuesday afternoon, Midland Fire Department received 41 water rescue calls, with 28 occurring Friday between 4 and 10 p.m. On Tuesday, the city closed several streets that cross a water-swollen Midland draw, including Barber, Benton, Dormond, Edwards, Golf Course, Magnolia, Pine, and San Andreas. According to NWS's Turnaround, Don't Drown campaign, fast-moving water can be very dangerous. 6 inches of fast-moving water can knock over and carry away an adult. 12 inches of fast-moving water can carry away a small car. 18 to 24 inches of fast-moving water can carry away most large SUVs, vans, and trucks. Relief in sight. Rainy weather should ease up soon. We should see some showers and thunderstorms in the forecast through Wednesday morning, but conditions will improve thereafter, Curran said. As for the weekend, it should be pleasant. We have a cold front coming in Friday morning that might bring some isolated showers and thunderstorms with it, but we're not expecting near the amounts of rain we've seen in the past few days. Saturday through Tuesday are currently forecast to be sunny with highs in the mid-80s. This article is entitled, $23 Million Grant Proposal Targets Air, Water Quality in Midland County. by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Lorez Green of Green River Society and Green River Development presented a proposal to Midland County Commissioners Tuesday for a $23 million grant under the Infrastructure Reduction Act to improve clean air, water, and job opportunities in disadvantaged areas. Green stressed non-financial support from the county while giving his presentation to commissioners, emphasizing that he hoped that Midland County would help support the project's goals. The project includes installing reverse osmosis and air filtration systems, training 1,000 community members for 630 jobs in emissions monitoring, and establishing 3 community resilience hubs with ice and water stations. The initiative aims to address indoor and outdoor pollution and provide economic opportunities. Green said the project will commence in January 2025 and must be completed within 3 years to comply with grant requirements. The initiative is part of the Infrastructure Reduction Act, aimed at supporting disadvantaged areas for climate and environmental improvement. Regarding requirements for the program, a collaborative agreement between 2 entities, a community benefits organization or another nonprofit, a municipal government, or an institution of higher education, could potentially be a community partner for the initiative. Right now, I am working with the Midland Rotary Club, Green told commissioners during the meeting. I hope to finalize plans with them soon. The primary focus of the program is on the county of Midland, with components including items such as reverse osmosis and air filtration systems. The project area is considered disadvantaged by the USDA and EPA, with a focus on Midland and West Odessa. This article is entitled Eliminate Standing Water to Help Mosquito Control, by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. The heavy rainfall that the Permian Basin has received could potentially create a breeding ground for mosquitoes, including those carrying diseases such as the West Nile virus. Last week, the City of Midland Health Services reported the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus in a Midland County resident. Now, the City of Midland urges residents to help eliminate mosquito habitats in their backyard. Tyler Collins, an epidemiologist at the City of Midland Health Department, said mosquitoes like to lay eggs in standing water. The mosquitoes that people get bit by are the female mosquitoes that are looking for a meal in order to nourish their eggs, Collins said. They're going to find a place to lay their eggs, and they like standing water. Collins added that in the next few days, the temperature will rise into the range that mosquitoes prefer. With all this rainfall, we definitely encourage people to dump the standing water around the home, said Tyler Collins, an epidemiologist at the City of Midland Health Department. Standing water can accumulate in unused tires, cans, unused pools, pool covers, and other containers that can collect water. Additionally, tall grass and weeds create a resting place for adult mosquitoes. Once the rain stops, the best time to dump the water is as soon as you can. The longer the water lingers, the more likely it is to attract mosquitoes. The American Mosquito Control Association, AMCA, provided tips to help eliminate mosquito problems around the home. Dispose of any unused tires, because they can breed thousands of mosquitoes. Drill holes into the bottom of recycling containers. Make sure roof gutters are free of debris. Clean pet water dishes. Repair leaky outdoor faucets. Change water in bird baths at least once a week. Canoes and boats should be turned over. Avoid water collecting on pool covers. Empty water collected in tarps or on wood piles. Plug tree holes. Empty small containers such as bottles, barrels, buckets, and overturned garbage can lids. The AMCA added that even the smallest containers can become breeding ground for mosquitoes because they don't need a lot of water to lay their eggs. After abundant rainfall, the Midland Parks and Transportation Departments work to put out dunks that kill mosquito larvae in any standing water areas, in right-of-way or in parks. The city said that these dunks are the best line of defense for killing mosquito populations after significant storms. The park staff also fogs parks with standing water, such as Cowden, Hill, or Graffa, in the early morning hours. Collins added that along with dumping the water, Midland residents can also take precautions to prevent mosquito bites, especially now that the first case of West Nile virus has been confirmed. "We encourage the use of long sleeves and pants," Collins said, "avoiding being outside at dawn and dusk because that is when the mosquitoes are active. If you open your windows, make sure you have a screen on them." Collins said that wearing an Environmental Protection Agency-approved insect repellent also helps prevent mosquito bites. The city recommends that anyone experiencing the symptoms of West Nile virus should visit their health provider and inform them of any previous mosquito exposure. This article is entitled, "P&Z OKs Initial Zoning for Costco, City Annexation in Process," by Mella McEwen, oil editor. What is expected to be the largest Costco in the state continues to move through the permitting process. Members of the Planning and Zoning Commission unanimously approved a request by Winkleman and Associates on behalf of Costco for an initial zoning of RR, Regional Retail, for a 22,119-acre tract at State Highway 191 and State Highway 158. The property is in the process of being annexed into city limits, and annexation will need to be approved first before the initial zoning can be approved. The associated annexation request will be heard at the September 24th City Council meeting. The property will also need to be platted, and a sketch plat submitted August 30th is under review. Costco, along with the City of Midland and Midland Development Corporation, announced the construction of a 174,000-square-foot facility on 18.69 acres of the site, including 1.01 acres as an outparcel for future parking. Construction is expected to begin no later than June 1, 2025, with completion no later than August 31, 2026. MDC will reimburse Costco $6,502,504 for capital improvements to the site, including extending Sinclair Avenue West past Loop 250 and constructing a new north-south road. MDC will reimburse a third of the money when the store is completed, a third when Costco certifies it has created and maintained 100 jobs for a year, and the final third when Costco certifies it has retained those 100 jobs for 2 years. Under its deal with the City of Midland, Costco must make a $50 million capital investment into the property and certify that it has created at least 100 new full-time equivalent positions. By doing so, Costco will receive a rebate of 50% from the city on its portion of real and personal property tax for the next 20 years, and a 100% reimbursement of the 1% it collects in city sales tax for the next 30 years. This is the Life Tributes column. William Ronald Rieger, July 30, 1943 to August 31, 2024. William Ronald Rieger, 81 of Midland, and a few other places in Texas, passed away on Saturday, August 31st. Coach Rieger's after-game party, a time to receive friends, will be from 6 to 8 p.m. September 5th at 5202 Teakwood Trace in Midland. Services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, September 6th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Please wear your school or team colors, your coaching clothes, or your game day outfit. Coach Rieger was born on July 30, 1943, in Goose Creek, Texas, to Helen Mildred Rice and Luther Henry Rieger. Coach Rieger is survived by his son Ron Rieger and wife Catherine Chandler, daughter Laura Rieger North and husband Troy North, and three grandsons, brother Keith Rieger and wife Dana, and their three children and families, sister-in-law Ruth Rieger and her daughter, in-laws Jack and Linda North, Mark and Susie Chandler, Dennis and Marlene Eads. Coach Rieger is preceded in death by his wife and love of his life, Linda Jones Rieger. They were married in 1965, and she rarely missed a game, sharing a love that is unmatched. He was also preceded in death by his parents, Luther and Mildred Rieger, and his brother, Gary Rieger. In lieu of flowers, please donate to your favorite booster club, team, band, drama club, theater, or charity of your choice. He would say, take care of your kids. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. James Curtis Thomas, July 6, 1952 to August 30, 2024. On Friday, August 30th, James Curtis Thomas, 72, entered into the presence of his Lord and Savior. A private family graveside service will be held on Thursday, September 5th, at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery, with the Reverend Bill Billett officiating. A public visitation celebrating his life will be held at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home on Wednesday, September 4th, from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Mr. Thomas was born in Crane, Texas, July 6, 1952, to Erlene and Curtis Thomas of McCamey. At Texas Tech University, he met and married the love of his life, Karen Eulen. They were richly blessed with 51 years together, and their two amazing sons, Tress James Thomas and Jared Curtis Thomas. James is survived by his wife Karen of Midland, his sons Tress Thomas and Jared Thomas and wife Paige, and four grandchildren. He is also survived by his sister Maribet and husband Max Maynard of Andrews, as well as many nieces and nephews. James is preceded in death by Precious Angel granddaughter Tatum Kate Thomas, his parents Curtis and Erlene Thomas, and younger sister Jolene Thomas. Memorial donations may be made to the Alzheimer's Association, the Parkinson's Foundation, or Hospice of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Lloyd Wayne Mitchell, Jr., December 3, 1934, to August 30, 2024. Lloyd Wayne Mitchell, Jr., 89, passed away surrounded by his family Friday, August 30th in Big Spring. He was born on December 3, 1934, to Lloyd Wayne and Madge McBrayer Mitchell in Lorena, Texas. He is loved and missed by his wife Dixie Perryman Mitchell, daughters Natalie Tramp and husband Michael, and Valerie Smith and husband Jim. Bonus children Margaret Hunt and husband Truett, John S. Henry and wife Blake, Patrick Henry and wife Wendy, Elizabeth Bays and husband Craig, Maria Flavin and husband Kevin, Anne Frances Meeks and husband Terry, and James Perryman Henry and wife Heather, as well as five grandchildren and three great-grandchildren. He is also survived by sisters Mary Catherine Mitchell, Charlotte Wetzel, and husband Grayson, brothers Billy Tom Mitchell and wife Barbara, and Jimmy Neal Mitchell, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his wife Natha McNinn Mitchell, parents Lloyd Wayne and Madge McBrayer Mitchell. He will be available for viewing Monday, September 2nd, between the hours of 4 and 8 p.m., and the family will receive friends from 4 to 6 p.m. that same day at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home in Big Spring. Funeral service will be held at Nellie Picklin Welsh Rosewood Chapel in Big Spring at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, September 3rd. Interment will follow at Trinity Memorial Park in Big Spring. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Wayne and Nathan Mitchell Scholarship Fund, 200 North College. Attention Brad Holland in Stanton, 79782. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbreath Funeral Home in Stanton, and online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Shirley Jo Wythe Locker, November 15, 1951 to August 29, 2024. Shirley Jo Wythe Locker, 72, of Midland, passed away on August 29th. Shirley was born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to Shirley and Joe Wythe on November 15, 1951. While still in high school, she met and eventually married Michael Stephen Locker, and they had two daughters, Laura and Alex. She is preceded in death by her parents and two brothers. She is survived by her daughter, Laura Johnson, and husband, Holt, and their children, Locker, Sam, and Elizabeth, her daughter Alex and her children Tucker and Jack Bryant, all of Midland. Her brother Joe Wythe of Houma, Louisiana. Her sister Creanne Henderson and husband Chuck of Longview, Washington. Her sister Sue Locker and husband Gus of Midland. As well as nieces and nephews. As per her request, there will be no service. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Hospice of Midland, 911 West Texas Avenue in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Ella Bell Heath. Ella Bell Heath, age 101, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, August 28th. The family will receive friends for visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. at Ella's funeral home on Tuesday, September 17th. A celebration of life will be held at Crestview Baptist Church on Wednesday, September 18th. Graveside services will follow at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. James T. White. James T. White, age 74, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, August 29th. The family will receive friends for visitation on Thursday, September 5th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held Friday, September 6th, at 11 a.m. at New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, 1801 North Carver Street, followed by interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences.
Willie Nelson and son Micah collaborate on new album. A new father-son musical project was announced with Willie Nelson and son Micah, which includes a new studio album release, Last Leaf on the Tree. The new album features Nelson's youngest son, Micah, who produced the album with a few cover songs and performs playing multiple instruments on the upcoming album's song list, according to Rolling Stone. At 91, Nelson keeps a busy schedule with his hands and numerous projects as he tours and creates music. Along with his musical offspring, the family creates a lot of music. The new album, set for release in November, will be Nelson's 76th studio album release and 152nd album overall, according to Nelson's website. While Nelson's youngest son Micah is featured on the upcoming album, Nelson's other son Lucas tours the country with the band Promise of the Real, or POTR as it's called, and making time to perform with family during the 2024 Outlaw Music Festival, which is still actively touring along with a list of other musical greats and talent. In the latest project, Nelson wrote and co-wrote a mix of songs on the new album, while also featuring multiple covers, some of which from Nina Simone, Neil Young, Keith Richards, Beck, and the Flaming Lips, to name a few, with the new album single release of the Tom Waits song Last Leaf. Quote, "The connecting thread that binds all of the songs on this album is shuffling off this mortal coil," end quote, Micah told Rolling Stone. Quote, "There are little side quests, but that became the through line, facing death with grace," end quote. This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Midland Health. Colon cancer screenings should be done at 45. Who should get a colonoscopy? This is always a topic of discussion between primary care providers and patients and can be a daunting one. Many people feel embarrassed by the idea of a colonoscopy, and it is important that they are well educated and counseled on the need for this procedure. As per the World Health Organization, WHO, colorectal cancer, CRC, is the third most common cancer worldwide, accounting for approximately 10% of all cancer cases, and is the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths worldwide. Multiple societies such as the American Cancer Society, ACS, and the U.S. Multi-Society Task Force, MSTF, have now advocated that the age for colon cancer screening be reduced from 50 to 45 in average-risk patients due to the rising incidence and mortality in colorectal cancer in young and middle-aged populations. For average-risk patients, colonoscopy is recommended until the age of 75. There are many risk factors that increase the risk of CRC, such as aging, personal or family history of CRC, advanced polyps, personal history of inflammatory bowel disease, genetics, and history of metabolic conditions, diabetes, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, obesity. Other factors include diets that are high in fat, processed red and charred meats, or diets low in fiber, fruits, and vegetables. People who smoke tobacco and consume alcohol chronically are also at an increased risk. A colonoscopy is the gold standard and diagnostic choice for CRC screening. There are alternatives to colonoscopy in detecting CRC, such as Cologuard, FIT, or imagining studies such as virtual colonoscopy. However, there are disadvantages such as higher false positive or false negative rates with the stool tests, and virtual colonoscopy is not a great tool for smaller lesions greater than 1 centimeter, which can be precancerous. A colonoscopy is the only test out of the above where a biopsy can be taken for any abnormal tissue and polyps can be removed at time of procedure. An average risk patient can go 10 years between screenings with no abnormal findings unless symptoms occur. Other alternatives to a colonoscopy require more frequent screenings. If any of the alternative tests are positive, you must have a colonoscopy to exclude CRC. Although screening for colon cancer starts at age 45 for average risk patients, there are special scenarios where the age is sooner. For example, in patients who have a first-degree relative with colorectal cancer, age 40 or 10 years younger than the age of the relative diagnosed with CRC, or if there are any of the following signs: rectal bleeding, changes in bowel habits, unintentional weight loss, abdominal pain, or unexplained iron deficiency. Regardless of the option used for CRC screening, it is imperative that all patients be screened for colon cancer due to the increasing incidence and mortality rates. There are ways to reduce your risk of developing colorectal cancer, such as regular screenings, maintaining a healthy diet, exercising, quitting smoking, and more. To learn more about being proactive in your health, visit American Cancer Society, www.cancer.org. Skincare. Which skincare products should young girls use? Dermatologists recommend the simple routine. Girls are bombarded on social media with advice from influencers touting elaborate skincare routines with high-priced serums, mists, and creams. But what is the right skincare routine for preteens? Simple is best, dermatologists say. Before puberty hits, most kids only need 3 things: a gentle cleanser, a moisturizer, and sunscreen. Quote, "That's it, full stop, you don't need anything else," end quote, says Dr. Shalay Maguinis, a Minneapolis-based dermatologist. She and other dermatologists around the U.S. have seen growing numbers of teen and preteen girls using anti-aging skincare products. In some cases, the adult strength products have damaged young girls' skin, and the obsession with achieving the looks they see online has raised concern about the impact on their mental health. Many of the popular products from Drunk Elephant, Glow Recipe, and others, which can cost $70 or more, contain active ingredients like retinols and hydroxy acids intended for mature skin that can irritate young faces and damage the skin barrier. Experts say they are unnecessary and a waste of money for children. Quote, I hear all day, every day, from all my patients who have children in their teens and younger, that they are so fixated on all of these skincare products and TikTok trends and they've gone overboard, end quote, says Dr. Dendy Engelman, a dermatologist in Manhattan. Here's what dermatologists say about what's safe for young skin and how families can navigate the fast-growing trend. Should kids use anti-aging products? Teens and preteens don't need anti-aging products. Even the Personal Care Products Council, the trade association for cosmetics companies, says, quote, anti-aging products are generally unnecessary for younger skin, end quote. For tweens, dermatologists recommend brands of cleansers and moisturizers like Cetaphil, CeraVe, and La Roche-Posay that are commonly available in drugstores. As puberty kicks in, teenagers might need to address skin issues brought on by hormonal changes like acne, excess oil, dark spots, blackheads, and more. If an issue seems serious, it's best to consult a dermatologist. When introducing a new product, especially if it contains a harsh ingredient, go slowly. Quote, if they really want to use a product and see what all the fuss is about, say, how about we do a skin test before you rub it all over your face, end quote, says McQuinas, a professor of pediatric dermatology at the University of Minnesota. Dab a bit on the inner arm for a few days, and if there is no reaction, then maybe it's okay to try on the face. How to tell if a skincare product is harmful. Signs of an allergic reaction can range from redness, itchiness, flaking of skin, burning or stinging, to patches of tiny bumps. Quote, those are all signs to stop using a product, end quote, says Dr. Carly Whittington, a dermatologist at Indiana University School of Medicine. Continuing use of products that cause irritation can lead to more severe skin damage. Often kids don't realize that trendy products they are using contain harmful ingredients. Dr. Brooke Jeffy in Scottsdale, Arizona, had an 11-year-old patient with a severe rash around her eyes. The child had been using a retinol eye cream that caused irritation and itchiness. The reaction worsened as she continued using it and scratched at her skin. Quote, she was using an eye cream for a condition she didn't have and has now created this dramatic problem that is going to take months to resolve, end quote, said Jeffy, one of many dermatologists now on TikTok and Instagram trying to debunk harmful social media trends with posts on, quote, do's and don'ts, end quote, for tween skincare. How to encourage healthy skincare routines. Engelman suggests setting a timer for skincare, like some parents do to remind kids to brush teeth for 2 minutes. Children should not need more than 5 or 10 minutes for skincare, she says. When you have a 13-step skincare routine that takes 45 minutes a night, that is too much, end quote, she says. McGuinness urges parents to talk with their skincare-obsessed kids about viral trends they're following and why. Water bottles. Your water bottle could be germier than your toilet seat. It's commonly known staying hydrated is key to keeping your body running smoothly. Water does more than quench your thirst. It regulates your temperature, flushes out toxins, keeps your joints flexible, and powers essential functions like circulation and nutrient delivery. But you might not know your trusty Stanley or Nalgene could be teeming with germs. A 2022 study found the average reusable water bottle harbors more bacteria than a toilet seat. The researchers measured the number of live bacteria in these bottles using colony-forming units. On average, the bottles contained 20.8 million CFUs of bacteria. That's 40,000 times more than on a toilet seat. The type of bottle made a difference, too. Squeeze top bottles had the least bacteria, with just 3 million CFUs, while bottles with spouts or screw top lids had as many as 30 million CFUs, similar to what was found on a faucet. The study also found that among 1,000 Americans surveyed, only a quarter washed their water bottles only a few times a week, and slightly more than 10% cleaned them just a few times a month. These are some alarming statistics highlight the importance of properly cleaning and maintaining these everyday items. Quote, if you're not cleaning them properly, there's a chance they could make you sick, end quote, said Dr. J.
Bornhagen, assistant professor at the Indiana University School of Medicine, told WRTV. His research found various bacteria on water bottles, including potentially harmful ones like Staphylococcus and coliform bacteria. To prevent your water bottle from becoming a breeding ground for germs, experts recommend rinsing it daily with soap and water, or sometimes with white vinegar, followed by thorough drying. Once a week, give it a deep clean by taking it apart and scrubbing with a bottle brush to reach those tricky spots. Your water bottle goes with you everywhere, from the gym to the office and beyond. By sticking to a regular cleaning routine, you're protecting your health. Delta 8. What to know about Delta 8? They're sold in gas stations, vape shops, online, and in other stores around the country in seemingly countless enticing forms. Gummies, chocolate bars, chips. Their packaging lists things like Delta 8 THC, micro and macro doses of, quote, psychedelics, end quote, and, quote, nootropics, end quote. These substances are often sold through legal loopholes, despite concerns about potential health risks and a lack of oversight of how they're produced. And in the absence of federal rules, many states have banned or have tried to ban Delta 8 THC. Legal but under-regulated drugs are easy to come by, but experts say there are still a lot of uncertainties. Here's what to know. How are these substances legal? Drug laws are often specific to the substance, so federal and state regulators are left chasing the newest chemical concoction. Delta 8 THC exploded in popularity under the Agriculture Improvement Act of 2018, more commonly known as the Farm Bill. Under that law, hemp products and the cannabinoids that could be made from them were classified as distinct from marijuana. Delta 8 is just a slight chemical tweak from the psychoactive Delta 9 compound found in marijuana, but it can still get you high. It remains in a legally ambiguous area with restrictions that vary state by state, said Robert Mikos, a marijuana policy and law expert at Vanderbilt University. Substances like cannabinoids are also easy to change into new but similar versions of drugs that may come under scrutiny. Quote, there's been all sorts of things that have cycled through popularity over time, end quote, he said. Quote, and government enforcement is always one step behind what the chemist can come up with, end quote. If it's on a store shelf, though, it's safe, right? Not necessarily. Because of a lack of oversight into manufacturing processes and a lack of uniform labeling requirements, it's hard to know what exactly is in a particular product. For example, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration began investigating illnesses earlier this year caused by recalled Diamond Shrums products, which, in addition to containing Musimol, a legal psychoactive compound from the Amanita muscaria mushroom, were found to contain other unlisted ingredients, including psilocin, a controlled substance. It's hard to even know basic information about what the potency of the drug in many of these products is, said Dr. Ginger Nickel, who leads the psychedelics research program at Washington University in St. Louis. And the concern isn't just limited to the drugs themselves. It extends to other things that could be introduced in the manufacturing process, said Dr. Igor Grant, director of the University of California, San Diego Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research. He pointed to how Delta 8 is made from CBD. The chemical process to make Delta 8 uses strong acids and more, Grant said. And if some of those other trace chemicals are left behind, they can pose added health risks to those already posed by Delta 8 itself. Quote, if this was done by the Food and Drug Administration standards, where they have strong regulations about purity and all that, it'd probably be fine, end quote, he said. Quote, but that's not how it's made, end quote. What should you do? Nickel suggested that people to talk to their doctor before taking anything, especially if it's an unregulated drug. That's in part because of the lack of rigorous research that could better understand the drug's effects, side effects, and safety, and in part because there is so little oversight. Quote, you can catch a bad batch, end quote, she said. Quote, nobody is necessarily testing it for purity or contamination, end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the HEB grocery ads for the week of Wednesday, September 4th through Tuesday, September 10th. This week's big savings. Save up to $3.02 per pound on fresh, boneless beef top sirloin steaks. USDA Choice Value Pack. Now $4.97 a pound. Limit 2. Your choice, fresh Hill Country Fair chicken drumsticks or thighs. Value Pack, 99 cents a pound. Fresh, boneless, thick-cut center pork loin chops. Texas Size Pack, $1.97 a pound. HEB Made in Texas Smoked Sausage Ring, 13 to 14 ounces. Original, Polish, Mesquite, Savory Jalapeno, or Longhorn Cheddar. 2 for $6. HEB Wild New Harvest Texas Gulf Shrimp, 16 to 25 count per pound, previously frozen, $6.97 a pound. Save up to $3 a pound on HEB Wild Caught Snow Crab Clusters, 5 to 8 ounces average, previously frozen, now $8.97 a pound. Your choice, Rave apples sold by the pound or jumbo round mangoes sold each, 97 cents. Small avocados, 2 for $1. HEB Premium White Flesh Peaches, $1.77 a pound. Your choice, HEB Texas Roots Russet Potatoes, 4 count, or HEB Angel Champagne or Select Sweet Tomatoes, 10 ounces, 2 for $4. Save $3 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2 Meal Simple by HEB oven-ready starters. Assorted varieties. Must buy 2. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on General Mills large-size cereal, 12 to 18.2 ounces. Assorted varieties. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2 HEB tortilla chips, 11 to 14 ounces, assorted varieties. Must buy 2. HEB Essential Grains Bread, 16 to 24 ounces, assorted varieties. 2 for $5 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on DiGiorno Pizza, 16.9 to 31.5 ounces, assorted varieties. Save $1.50 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Dawn Platinum Plus Power Wash Dish Spray, 16 ounces, or Platinum Easy Squeeze Dishwashing Liquid, 24.3 ounces. Assorted varieties. HEB Meal Deal. Save more than $9 in free items with yellow coupons, in-store or online. Buy HEB Premium Smoked Sausage, 28.5 ounce Texas size pack, assorted varieties. Get 4 items free with yellow coupons in-store or online. HEB Natural Shredded Cheese, 8 ounces, assorted varieties. HEB Texas Style Ranch Beans, 15 ounces. HEB Texas Corn Chips or Dippers, 10.5 ounces, assorted varieties. And Pepsi Soft Drink, 2-liter bottle. Assorted varieties. Combo Loco. Buy 2 HEB Pure Cane Sugar Sodas, 12-pack of 12-ounce cans, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online HEB party-size chips, 13.75 to 20 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $3.98. Buy two HEB flavored tortilla chips, 10 ounces, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online HEB chips galore cookies, 11.75 to 13 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $2.98. Buy Nabisco Teddy Grahams, 10 ounces, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online HEB Lone Stars Cheddar Baked Snack Crackers, 11 ounces. Save up to $2.98. Buy HEB Fully Cooked Kolaches, 2-count, assorted varieties, located in the market. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online HEB Orange Juice, Lemonade, or Tex Sweet Brewed Tea by HEB, 12 ounces. Save up to $1. Save $5 off your basket with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy $30 of HEB Simply Seasoned Chicken or Pork, assorted varieties. Save $1.50 when you clip digital coupon in my HEB app and buy two HEB Made In-Store Guacamole, 15 ounces, HEB or HEB Mi Tienda Salsa, 10 to 16 ounces, or HEB Pico de Gallo, 14 ounces, assorted varieties. Must buy two. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on HEB Creamy Creations Premium Ice Cream, 1/2 gallon, assorted varieties, excludes limited edition. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on any Swiffer product, assorted sizes and varieties, excludes travel or trial sizes. Save $6 off your basket when you clip digital coupon in my HEB app when you buy $18 of Colgate, Soft Soap, Irish Spring, Speed Stick, Tom's of Maine, Hello, Palmolive, Fabuloso, Ajax, Suavitel, or Murphy products. Excludes Colgate-based toothpaste and travel or trial sizes. Limit one per household. Save $1.50 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Hefty trash bags, 16 to 110 count, assorted varieties. Buy Neosporin cream or ointment, 0.5 to 1 ounce. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online Band-Aid travel size bandages, 8 count. Save up to $1.14. Save 20% with yellow coupon in-store or online on HEB Cody coolers, drinkware, apparel, or accessories, assorted colors and varieties. Buy one HEB Texas Tough foil pan, assorted sizes and varieties, and get a second one free with yellow coupon, in-store or online. Save up to $3.98. Save $5 with yellow coupon, in-store or online, on Royal Oak Supersize Charcoal Briquettes, 14-pound bag.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, September 3rd. Odessa Arts begins Art After Dark. Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm had been toying with the idea of having a podcast or streaming chat show for a while, and now he actually does. Called Art After Dark, episodes drop every Tuesday at 7 p.m. This show features a variety of local talents such as musician Sam Allen, Aaron Gantz, theater director from Odessa College, Tiffany Wood from Skalicki Ballet Academy, and artist and poet Caleb Mendez. They have also taped shows that hadn't been released yet, with musician Eric Baker, Gina Bernal, and Melody Herrera from Creatives of West Texas, Beatrice Mata from Ector County ISD, and Mariana Estate. Ham had a couple of director's chairs at his Odessa Arts office that they use for different events, and someone said it would make a good podcast set. He called Ryan Shuchuk from 40 Wolves Podcasting, which has its own studio in Midland. They do a lot of different podcasts. He's very skilled at it. I watched a couple of the things he produced. I thought, yeah, let's do that, Ham said. He called Shuchuk and gave him a tour of the Copper Rose building. Shuchuk said the basement would be a prime spot for the podcast. I've always been a fan of the Dick Cavett Show. I'm from that generation of Merv Griffin and Dick Cavett. I thought, we could do this. It became very turnkey, very fast, because I book the guests. Ryan films and edits it. Gina Van Doren Truong from Backstage Marketing does the marketing for it. We film 4 episodes in a day. We just have guests come in, one right after the other, and we do 30 minutes of each, and then he edits it. We've got a month's worth of content in one day, Ham said. It's on Odessa Arts YouTube channel, Spotify, and Apple. Ham wears a suit, and Alan, who interned at Odessa Arts this summer, wrote the theme music. It's really kind of high production value for what we do. Even though it's technically a podcast, I think it's like a chat show, or so I prefer people to watch it rather than just listen, Ham said. He didn't necessarily think they had the bandwidth to take on the show, but with the support of his staff and board, he was able to. I'm trying to be very mindful of that, especially in light of recent events, with trying to manage my own capacity as much as everyone else's, he said, referring to a heart attack he recently suffered. But it turns out, in terms of effort, it's pretty low effort, and it's a lot of fun. That's one thing I just love that I can look forward to one day out of the month, where we just go down there in the basement and we interview people. We have these really great conversations, and that people are responding to. That's been one of the really great things, the number of views that we've had and the number of comments. And also we talk about how important marketing is. And what a big aspect of what Odessa Arts does is about marketing. Not just us, but about people, our artists, our other organizations. This gives us a platform to be able to do that, he added. He noted that the West Texas Jazz Society is the longest running jazz party in the world, and not many people know that. In choosing guests, some people reach out to him directly, and there are others that he invites on the show. They recorded their first 4 episodes in June and then spent July working on the editing and aesthetic. The first episode dropped August 6th. We've only been doing it for a few weeks, and I have to remind myself of that because the people watching have only seen 4 episodes. To them, it's all new, Ham said. As of August 21st, he had not been approached by anyone wanting to pick up the show, but it would be really cool. He has gotten quite a bit of feedback about it. I do think that we have a unique aesthetic to be able to sell this, and it fits so well with my personality that I just can't tell you how much fun I have doing this. And the fact that people are responding just makes it even more fun for me, Ham said. I'm just really excited about what we've done with this and how quickly and easily it's come together, he added. He said he can't thank his team enough for how well it's gone so far. This is one of those things that we get to do that is fun from beginning to end. It's never a struggle, and it never is anything other than just pure joy that accomplishes something important, Ham said.
This is the Dear Abby column. Man smitten with woman he's known for years. Dear Abby, I have been around Kendra since she was 4. I am 59 and not married to her mother, although we are good friends. Kendra is 36 now and has an 8-year-old son. She lives with her boyfriend, who is the father. They are not married. We have a great relationship. For some reason, over the past 4 months, my feelings for Kendra have grown into an infatuation. I mean, I have always loved her, but now I wish I was with her. I want to be with her. My feelings are so strong, I would even marry her. I know she loves me, but I doubt in the way I love her now. I don't want to destroy what we have, but it's killing me that I can't be with her. I have jealous feelings like a kid. I love her very much and would never do anything to hurt her. I guess I'm just a stupid old man thinking this way, but I can't help it. I can honestly say I'm in love with her. I am confused about what I need to do. Signed, Loving Her in the East. Dear Loving, what happened 4 months ago that changed your feelings about Kendra from the paternal ones you have felt for the last 32 years? If you express to her the lustful feelings you are harboring, you will blow the entire family apart. An appropriate place to examine your feelings would be in the office of a licensed psychotherapist. Please, don't wait. Dear Abby, my husband Jake tells his mother where we plan to go and what we plan to do on our date nights. On several occasions, she has actually shown up. She pretends to be surprised when she sees us, asking us what we're up to. She doesn't try to sit with us or hang around, thank goodness, but she's there, watching and listening from a short distance. She has never liked me, and I suspect this is another of her passive-aggressive ways to get under my skin. Our date nights are an active effort to try to save our marriage. The first time she showed up, I told Jake I didn't like it, and that it had better not happen again. He assured me it wouldn't. I also asked him to stop telling her where we're going and what we're going to do. He hasn't done that. He says he can't tell his mother to leave because it's a public place, and she has every right to be there, too. What should I do? Signed, Haddit in Oklahoma. Dear Haddit, if you and Jake are serious about saving your marriage and not yet in marriage counseling, start talking with a licensed marriage and family therapist now. Jake appears to be a man who can't say no to his mother. Your mother-in-law does have a right to patronize any restaurant she pleases, but she should not be hovering over your shoulders. A therapist may be able to help you get that message across to your husband, whose priorities appear to be skewed. In the meantime, you should take charge of your date nights. Make the reservations, and tell no one where you are going, even your husband. You can contact Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.